What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is the Fightful Select Q&A podcast for December 8th, 2023. For those of you that are new here, here's the process that we go through for this Q&A show. I don't want to spend a bunch of time saying, I don't know, or I don't have an answer to that, or I'll find out. So what we're going to do is we answer the questions that we do have some new information or some info on that can be beneficial to our audience. And you can take solace in knowing that if we don't have an answer, we're going to try very hard to get one. BBQ Dad says, hey, Sean, in the past, some WWE talent have mentioned how they're given a few songs to listen to and choose from before they debut. How does this process work in AEW for their new talent? Well, for a lot of their talent, they can go to Mikey Ruckus and say, this is the idea that I have. If Tony Khan has a specific idea, sometimes he'll pitch that as well. And if AEW has the rights to a song or has the rights to a library, some of them can pick from that library under certain circumstances. So, for example, AEW acquired the rights to use the Hardy Boys theme, and in that library also includes the Hollies theme. So if Hardcore Holly were to make an appearance, there you go. I believe the Too Cool theme is also a part of that. So they have Scott Taylor there as a producer coach. If he popped up in a battle royal or a match, they could use that as well. Other people like MJF have royalty-free music. There are people like Swerve who have produced their own music and allow that to be used on the show. There are some that they license. It's all dependent on the process. What are the chances that AJ Lee might return to WWE in any capacity given how Punk made his unexpected return to the company? Significantly improved over what it was prior. I mean, she has shown a willingness to participate in some wrestling-related stuff, as she was effectively the face and sort of like a living mascot of WOW. They wanted her because they wanted people to go, oh, AJ Lee is on this show in some capacity. And she did it. She made some good money doing it and was well-liked there from what I understood. But there are a whole lot of women in WWE that would just love to wrestle AJ Lee, be on screen with AJ Lee. So I know it's something that several women there would be open to. Do you know the perception of Dynamite Collision backstage in AEW? Does TK see it equal, or is Collision the B-show? Collision is certainly the B-show right now. They don't want to portray it as that. I don't think they even want to portray Rampage as a B-show, which is why they put Danielson and Garcia on there. And my personal view is what we're seeing of that is similar to what we were seeing with NXT as they were trying to beef up those media rights deals. They're putting people like Bryan Danielson on Rampage in the Continental Classic because, you know, they want to show that there is an interest in watching that show. I don't know how exactly that's going to pan out. I would have both of those shows on different nights, different time slots. I would, you know, maybe give him a Thursday or a Tuesday or something like that. But yeah, any word on where Heath Miller is going? Taking bookings right now. He's a free agent as of now. Isaiah says, any information on where Sheamus has been? When may he return? He has been dealing with a shoulder injury. Is Okada's appearance at Snake Eyes a one-off, or him possibly going to TNA when his contract expires? It is a one-off as of now, and you know, this is so far removed from the TNA that Okada was a part of and that Okada really grew to have a disdain over. And that's kind of what led New Japan and now TNA to work together again, was that this isn't the same regime that screwed over New Japan and switched titles without their knowledge or approval and screwed over some of their wrestlers. So I'm glad to see that those fences are truly mended, but as of now, it is a one-time thing. How much backlash are Danielson and the powers that be getting for the implementation of this new social media rule, and do you see it potentially backfiring on them? Absolutely none internally. There are some that hadn't necessarily heard of the policy or the fining stuff being implemented that had been off TV recently, so they were just like, hey, what's going on here? I hadn't necessarily heard of that. But there, I mean, Twitter overreacts to everything. Twitter and Facebook and social media. They overreact to everything. They love to pretend they're mad about everything. Nobody is mad about this internally at all. Any new updates in relation to Okada, Mercedes, and Julia coming to WWE? Can we expect some updates next week? Not that I'm aware of, but Julia is aware that WWE want her. Mercedes is a free agent. And Okada is aware that WWE wants him as well. Do you know what the company thought of Rollins' interviews about CM Punk? I mean, they knew that he was going to be transparent, or at least, I don't want to say transparent, somewhat work, somewhat shoot in relation to his interviews that he does in the media. And that just adds to the intrigue of a match between those two. But what are you going to do? Bring in a guy that so many people, first off, you told all these people he wasn't coming in. So you were not honest with these talent, and then you're not going to let them speak their truth in interviews? I think that that would be a bit too far. They were fortunate, like AEW was fortunate when Punk came back, that there were no talent that were like, you know what, I don't want to work with him, et cetera, et cetera. They were able to get an effective, clean slate on CM Punk, which is the best possible scenario in which they could have dreamed. What has happened in WWE with CM Punk as of now is the best possible scenario. So I don't think that they're going to go and say, hey, Seth, you can't necessarily go out there and say why it is you didn't like him for so long. And I think that Seth has been pretty diplomatic in that and saying that fences can be mended. And I feel that that is an honest thing that he's saying, because otherwise, if he were just working, he'd be like, nope, no chance of those fences being mended. So, yeah, I think that that's been good so far. Alex said, non-wrestling related, what made you become a Bengals fan? A geographical location. I lived in a place in which I called equally inconvenient to get to Lexington or Cincinnati. So, Kentucky basketball, Kentucky college football fan, but we don't have pro teams. So, Cincinnati Bengals and Cincinnati Reds fan for baseball and football. And basketball, we don't really have a team. There are the Indianapolis Pacers, but they're like 3.5 hours away. And I never really went to Indiana until I was an adult. So, I've adopted the Toronto Raptors because that's sort of a second home to me now. Toronto is. I really love it up there. I grew up a Bulls fan because I was a 90s kid, and hard to not be a Bulls fan in the 90s. But geographical location is what made me a fan of the Bengals, the Reds, and the Wildcats. Have you heard if there are WWE or AEW interest in Deonna? To the best of my knowledge, she has the ability to talk to either one of them. I don't know if she has. I believe that Impact plans to make an offer. If I were WWE and or AEW, both, I would be trying to sign Deonna Purrazzo. She is a slam dunk piece of your roster. She worked AEW. She's got, you know, a friend in Britt Baker there, who I'm sure will put in a good word. And she's got a friend in Chelsea Green in WWE, who I'm sure will put in a good word. And Chelsea Green is very open in saying the squeaky wheel gets the grease. This is a woman who guessed Paul Heyman's email address to get a call up to the main roster, to get an opportunity on the main roster. So I'm sure that she is open to having a like-minded person like Deonna as a part of that. And I'm not going to try to understand her motivations or anything like that, but there's not a lot left for her to do in TNA or Impact. They will almost certainly make her an offer, but she has not had a big money contract. She was not getting paid a lot at the beginning stages of Impact TNA. I don't know where she is now financially, but she was on the developmental deal in WWE. She has still not hit a big contract, and she deserves that. Steven says, Sean, really fun stuff with Shaza last week. Hope the Christmas season is going well for you. Thank you. I had a lot of fun doing that. And thank you to those of you who were very normal about that. He says, has there been any word yet on if WWE made any overtures for former stars for Rumble cameos? I haven't heard of that yet. I would imagine that will start in a couple of weeks, though. Would it be possible for WWE to reunite Sanity in WWE? Are they all able to be signed? Yes, as best I know, I could be wrong that they're all able to be signed. I mean, Eric Young told the Wrestling Perspective podcast that airs on Fightful with Lars Fredrickson and Dennis Farrell that he was working on a bit of a handshake agreement with TNA. Where have Alba Fire and Isla Dawn been, and why haven't they been on TV? They have been at the SmackDown tapings every week. They've been doing dark matches. I wish I had details on why they're not on TV, but they've been TV ready. and they just haven't been used. For some reason, that tag team division is not given nearly as much juice as it should be. Ronnie says, how does it feel to be put through a table? You know, I got cracked in the back of the head, like, legit, with the kendo stick. So compared to that, it wasn't as bad. In that particular situation, and this is something that you guys can go back and listen to a full behind-the-scenes podcast that myself and Shaza did, at that point, when I'm in the ring, I was like, okay, I just want the table to break. I didn't care how much it hurt, as long as it broke, because I didn't want to end up on Botchamania or something like that. Any idea on Beth Phoenix potentially joining Adam Copeland in AEW? I know it's been brought up by people backstage, but I don't know if there's a possibility. Mr. Sinister says, when is Andrade's contract up with AEW? The claim was like mid-2024, but there was likely to be injury time added. I don't know if that's still the case. I think there might be a possibility that is adjusted. Is Miro leaving too? Miro signed a multi-year extension last year, so he's around for quite a while. Any updates on the injured or out-of-action AEW women, Rosa, Hayter, Deeb, and Britt? Britt had been sidelined for a little bit. Thunder Rosa has been cleared for quite a while. Jamie Hayter was not expected back this year, and Serena Deeb has been backstage at numerous AEW collisions. There's a pretty extensive process for long-term injuries to get cleared, and she's been going through that, and I believe she has been cleared. Was ever conversation of ROH airing on True TV, also owned by Warner Media? There had been some talks of ROH airing on other networks, but I think that Tony wanted to shop it all together. Hi, Sean. Do you have any information on Santana being fined by Bryan Danielson? So he commented about this because we broke the news about Danielson fining at least one or two talent. And at no point ever did we name a name. No point ever. It's just people assumed it was him. And me and him both poked fun about it on social media. I have not heard that Santana was fined at all by Bryan Danielson. I think just a lot of people assumed it. James says, if and when Mercedes returns to WWE, do you think it'll be at Rumble or after Mania? I think Rumble would be a good spot. Jonathan Corona says, Sean, in my opinion, I think AEW can draw more attention and more fans to the arena from storytelling because right now they're not having a good attendance. What do you think about that? I think that planting seeds for MJF Hangman, which I don't think will happen anytime soon. I don't think that's on the table or anything like that for quite a while. So I think that planting the seeds there is going to be very, very good. I think that telling the stories within the tournament are very, very important. I don't think you want to go over the top with storytelling. And like, for example, I didn't like the integration of Shannon Wayne in that main event. It wasn't for me. I didn't need that. But I understand why Edge and Christian, why Copeland and Christian, you know, might feel like they need that for their thing. And at least you have something with a little bit of that on your show. I also don't think that absolutely cold matches without any stakes are the way to go either. So that's why I've really enjoyed the Continental Classic and a lot of the stuff contingent with that. I have been adamant about this. I think that AEW should run smaller buildings. I think that they should run more unique, smaller buildings. By that, I mean ones that look different. Don't have the show look the same every week. Now, I ain't running the company, so they can decide, well, no, actually, we do want it to look the same. We do want a consistent view. They do want some sort of cohesion as it relates to their production. That way, you don't have things that you're not expecting, because then you'll get buried for that as well. But if it were me and I had the budget and I were running a wrestling company, I would run unique, different-looking venues. I would make the ticket prices significantly lower than what they are right out of the gate and make it a hot ticket. You force it to be a hot ticket by not having as many seats, by, you know, putting it in a situation to where it will sell out relatively quick, and then you can sort of grow it back from there. Do you ever see Lio Rush returning to WWE or AEW? At some point, I think he could and should. I mean, that guy is so talented, just so talented. Ben says, curious as to what's going on with Zion Quinn. They called him up at the draft as a free agent, but haven't heard anything since for him on any brand. I mean, I know there were some people in the company that liked him, and they like his attitude and all that, but there have never been main roster plans for Zion Quinn, and he's never really appeared on any show since then. He did a number one contender battle royal for the IC title contendership, and that's it. What do you think the odds are of Punk winning the Rumble? I feel like Punk Rollins should be saved for Mania. I think it'd be a bad idea to have him win the Rumble. I think it'd be a bad idea. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think that he's going to work with Rollins at the Rumble. Could Jade Cargill or Deonna Purrazzo be in the Women's Rumble? Yeah, I think so. I think that they both could. Any AEW wrestlers who will be free agents in 2024? QT off the top of my head. I think Danielson's deal goes, I don't know if it goes through 2024 now, but there were a few deals that were set to expire in 2024. Any idea when the Young Bucks return? They've been off TV since Full Gear. I have not heard necessarily when they're coming back, but they will have sort of a new creative approach to their characters after that. Is there any chance of Mauro Ranallo coming back to WWE? I wouldn't expect that. I knew Triple H was a big proponent of Mauro Ranallo, though. Any chance WWE removes Sonny from the Hall of Fame? I doubt it. They probably won't just bring more attention to it as a result. BKRMKR says, are you concerned about the star ratings of your own matches, Sean? No, and I'm not trying to minimize anybody's rating system or anything like that, but literally the person who asked that question, your match rating means as much as mine or Dave's or anybody else's, or cage matches, aggregate or whatever. Pro wrestling is subjective entertainment, and each company is different. For example, like on the indies, it's more like a fighting game where the stats are a little more equal, so to speak. And then in WWE and AEW, it's a lot different. So it's all about how you approach it, and ultimately, you can avoid almost anything you want to avoid. So anybody pretending to be bothered by that really needs to go outside. Any plans of a Mae Young Classic or Mixed Match Challenge? I haven't heard anything involving that. Do you think Anna Jay will be leaving the Yas and teaming with Jack Perry in some faction? Yeah, I think that would make a lot of sense. I haven't heard that that's the plan, but to me, that makes an awful lot of sense. Jordan says, I missed most of listening to you. Boy, it's the hump now, Jordan Lassiter. Says, don't know if you mentioned this. What does AEW need to get that spark back? Well, I think from a TV viewer standpoint, it's been largely okay. Again, I think they need to make it the hot show again, and a lot of that is the crowd. So I'm very adamant that they should run smaller venues, lower ticket prices, get that audience in there, and capitalize on that, and don't do as many cold matches, make things a little more unpredictable. I think all those are very important. What are your thoughts on the upcoming Iron Claw movie? Can't wait for it. Grew up on World Class. So I didn't grow up on World Class. Of course, I knew who Kerry Von Erich, the Texas Tornado, was because he, you know, a little before my time even in WWF, so to speak. But I am an avid DVD collector of WWE DVDs, pro wrestling DVDs, and I love even the whitewashed, the whitewashed WWE documentaries. I like those too. Well enough to where I do my own like follow up and see how things went afterwards. But the Triumph and Tragedy of World Class was a great one. I love that one. I love the AWA because I didn't know a lot about them. Despite, you know, what we've seen of Dark Side of the Ring and World Class and or the Triumph and Tragedy of World Class, like I want to see this movie. I want to see this to. And I'm not big on like very, very sad movies. This is very clearly going to be a very sad movie, but I'm excited to watch it and to see how it's portrayed and how wrestling is portrayed as well. Any truth to the rumors on Twitter that WWE is trying to keep AJ and KO away from Punk? You know, I haven't heard that necessarily, but I mean, I think that Kevin Owens' response in that interview speaks volumes about his feelings on the situation, and he deserves to be able to feel that way. Does Fightful get NXT producer information? No, not if it's not posted, then we don't get it. Because I have people that say, well, why don't you post the ones for AEW? AEW is better at keeping them secret. We have posted AEW ones in the past. So, yeah. Does AEW's deal with WWE require Collision to be live most weeks? I believe so. Where is Pac? Medically sidelined. Sean, appreciate the team or everything you and the team at Fightful do. Has there been any word or talk about Bo Dallas potentially reappearing again as Uncle Howdy? I haven't heard anything about that, but that doesn't mean that it hasn't happened. But that's something I get a question about an awful lot. Are there any never say never people you think that could come back to WWE? AJ Lee, I think, is one that could return in some capacity. Demolition in the Hall of Fame. That's one that I think could happen. Does Bryan Danielson have an office contract with AEW? No, as best I know, he's just got his contract and still does additional stuff, I think. What happens to his backstage work once his wrestling contract expires next year? They plan to keep him around in some capacity. But yeah, I think that that's going to be something that they want to do. They very clearly trust him. At some point, I recall hearing that Baron Black was helping to book AEW talent with AEW. Do you know if that's the case or if he's still with the company? I never heard that. And I talked to Baron Black quite a bit, and I never heard that. And Baron has barely wrestled in like the last year. Tim, I am so sorry I missed your super chat, but I see this. He says, it was on the Shaza video. I asked if you two could run it back again and do another match. Would you? I would be open to it. What I don't want to do is become guy who just wrestles women, because there's some weirdos on the internet that think that that's the case. I've had like 40 matches, and one of them has been advertised versus a woman. One. And it was this one with Shaza. Now, I have been asked to wrestle other women in the past, but I passed on those offers, and it's not like an intergender thing. It's just I want it to make sense. I want to be able to do it and have a decent match. Allie Albright is a good friend of mine. She's like family to me. That's somebody I wouldn't mind wrestling with or teaming with. I think that if Shaza and I did something, it'd probably be like a tag thing where it was me and another female wrestler against her and Puff or something like that. Because I don't necessarily just want to make that my thing if I do decide to do this again. And if we do it again, we're going to raise a hell of a lot of money for a good cause again as well. Do you think AEW fans will be happy with anyone being the AEW devil, or does it have to be Cole MJF for them to be satisfied? There are going to be people that are disappointed no matter what. If it's MJF, they'll be disappointed. If it's Cole and company, they'll be disappointed. If it's Jack Perry, they'll be disappointed. I think there will be people that will like it and won't like it regardless. Hello, Sean. How long did it take you to prep for your match with Shaza? Keep up the great work. So we did a full behind-the-scenes podcast on this, but I got pitched the match in March. I agreed to it in April, and my initial thought was, well, let me see how I feel getting back in training, because it had been years. And then I was like, well, you know what? Even if I feel like crap, she could beat me up in like a minute and a half, and that's completely satisfactory. In April, I went to the doctor for clearance, and my doctor said, absolutely not. You need to do extensive physical therapy because of the shape that my spine was in. I did that. I started to get in the gym after physical therapy in early, mid-September, and started to train in the ring not long after that again. Hi, SRS. If you're Tony Khan, what is your sales pitch to Mercedes Moné to get her to sign with AEW? Please accept the amount of money in which we are offering. Is there any heat between you and Jeremy Lambert since he was at the Shaza match and didn't do the run-in to help you out? My wife was there too, and so was Cher Delaware. So yeah, none of them helped me at all. In fact, they booed me. Hate to see it. Do you know if Braun took a pay cut when he returned to the company last year? I don't, but I know that he had a big deal. He was getting paid seven figures, like over $1 million the last go around. I can't imagine there was a significant cut based on how things are structured now. Why wasn't there a strong emphasis on building up Final Battle? They put a lot of eggs in the Athena and Billy basket, and I think that's good. But I think what they should do is have whoever Eddie Kingston is slated to face in the Continental Classic be a title match at Final Battle. Was there ever an in-game plan for the Bow Wow and Jade Cargill stuff on AEW that they dropped? Not that I heard of, but they were hoping to add a little something to it, but I don't know if there was an end game, so to speak. I'm sure they had one in mind. What's taking so long for AEW and WBD to come up on a deal? Is it because Raw is on the table with WWE? I've not heard of any talks between WWE and WBD as of now. I know AEW wants to shop everything together. I know there have been some individual offers, but I haven't heard. I think that, first off, WBD isn't in a big hurry. They've still got it for 8 or 9 months, but especially considering the fact that nothing really has to be done outside of maybe putting AEW content on Max in the library that would need like an announcement way further out. Have you heard of plans for any upcoming documentaries on the scale of Cody and Angle ones or The Last Ride? The A&E stuff is good, but not the same. So that's where WWE was pretty smart about it. The quality on A&E isn't quite the same as their own, but they were able to effectively license out their stuff like that. So those are going to be fewer and further between. They're not doing a home video thing anymore, which is a bummer. But they are always filming. I mean, they are always filming. Do you see the Von Erichs appearance next week on Dynamite as a one-off? Yes, I think it's going to be a one-off and something that doesn't necessarily happen a lot. With 7 AEW pay-per-views this year, how many do you think they're likely to add for 2024? I think they could get up to 9. A lot of it depends on when and if they come to this deal with WBD. Because if they come to a deal with WBD like next week, and part of that deal is pay-per-views every month, then they'll do them every month. Because we had reported that there was going to be an expanded pay-per-view schedule. So all of it depends on the deal. Michelle Tate says, where did the term dirt sheets come from? Thanks for all you do, Sean. Michelle, it's great to see you here. The origin emanates because a lot of this stuff used to be in newsletter form, physical newsletter form that would get delivered to your home or your mailbox, and it would have dirt in it, like dirt on the wrestling industry. So, the paper, sheet, dirt sheet. It's effectively where it emanated from. Vincent says, do you ever anticipate us getting into a world where contracts are made public like in other sports or Hollywood actors? Granted, those jobs have a union. Maybe that's the missing piece. Maybe if there's like a player association or something like that. But hey, I'm trying to. That's one thing that I wanted to push more to the public side of things are wrestling contracts. And I feel like Fightful's done a very, very good job with that. If you see the public nature of wrestling contracts before we did Fightful Select, there certainly was plenty of it there, but we have definitely accelerated that, and I'm very, very proud of that. Is AEW viable, or can it remain viable? Yeah, absolutely. It is absolutely viable. And also, you have to realize that viable is in the eye of the owner, which is Tony Khan and Shad Khan. But yeah, they're going to be viable. They're going to be very profitable when their TV deal gets announced. Still not clear. Does the winner of AEW get a championship belt, the AEW tournament rather, get a championship belt that he'll defend like all title belts, or a trophy like the Owen Hart belts? It will be a title belt, and it's been covered up on AEW programming. But the line of thinking was Eddie Kingston is the ROH World Champion and the New Japan Strong Champion, so they effectively established an AEW Continental Classic Championship. So it's a triple crown championship for ROH, AEW, and New Japan. Were WWE not interested in signing Holiday after the tryout? Well, they didn't. So I can't really speak to that. I did talk to him about the tryout process, and that interview will be up soon. Why did Bobby Roode stop wrestling? He had neck fusion. He's now producing within WWE. He's a little older and neck injury, so moved on to a different area of the company as of right now. Don't know if there are any plans for him to come back imminently or anything like that. Well, hopefully there's plans for you guys to come back imminently. We got stories nonstop for you guys. I just am so overwhelmed with how kind so many of you were this week, especially donating to the National Alliance on Mental Illness. So I want to say thank you to everybody that did that. That is a cause that is very near and dear to my heart, that have helped an awful lot of people, especially people that I care about and love. So thank you all so much. I really appreciate you guys. Tell the world about Fightful Select. We're out.